everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the program on this Thursday, December the 20th. And wait a minute. I just jumped the gun. December 17th in 2020.
Yeah, you went you went into the future.
I know everybody's in a hurry to get rid of this year. But, you know, we've still got a couple more days before we hit December the 20th. We do have Christmas Eve.
So wormholes do exist, I guess.
We've got Christmas Eve a week away. And as they were talking about on CBS Network News, if you haven't done or put your holiday cards in the mail, today would be the day to do it. There's no guarantee they'll arrive by Christmas, but at least the gesture is there. I've tried to send cards out through the years. It's a nice tradition. It does take a lot of time, though. Anyway, we're bringing folks together right here on the good old radio and the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. And yes, we piggyback the live feed over at buckmastershow.com from KVOI.com. The Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. Speaking of the live line, let's go now on the live line for our conversation with Tucson Council Member Richard Fimbres, Democrat representing Ward 5. Councilman, how are you this holiday season?
How you doing, Bill? Thank you for having me on your radio show, and thank you for all the messaging you put out positively in our community.
Well, I sure try. And you've had some, it's been a horribly difficult year for so many people. Did you have any wins or successes in Ward 5, council member?
Yes, we're still, you know, the city of Tucson lives off sales tax, so we got to make sure we work it so that the programs that affect our most needy, most vulnerable citizens are protected. And we've been doing that. And one of the things we have, I know 2020 was a terrible year because of the COVID virus and the pandemic and all those people that lost lives and all those that are sick. But modular mining had its third expansion, adding another 35 employees and high-wage jobs. In just 6 years, modular mining has expanded from 200 employees now to 350. And then we broke ground with the U of A Tech Park at the Bridges, broke ground, and began construction on their first building, the main building called the Refinery, a 120,000-square-foot building that will host Tech Launch Arizona, the U of A Center for Innovation, and other startups. More than 100 construction jobs created for this project. And then construction is underway for the Wood Spring Hotel and Taco Bell, the Waterwork Hotel, and the Whataburger, another 111-room hotel to be located by JTED. And then, you know, we just completed the JTED building, and that's ready to go, and they're still working on the street, though, to get it going, hopefully for the next semester.
Well, it sounds like there has been some good news over there.
Yeah, we've had some growth. We've had lots of growth in building, and I keep telling people that the location, location, location is critical. We're 5 minutes from downtown, 5 minutes from the main campus of the university. We're 4 minutes from the airport and 5 minutes from Banner Hospital down on Ajo. So there's a lot of positive things happening, but we got to do that because, you know, we're going into harm's way, and we don't know how this COVID issue pandemic is going to finish. But I'm glad that we have two vaccines coming out that will help a lot of our citizens curtail it, and I encourage them to take it as soon as they can, as soon as their numbers come up.
Let me ask you about this redistricting. Are you going to lose some of your constituents in Ward 5 over to Ward 6, to Councilman Kasachek's district?
Yes, sir. My ward had the most economic growth and annexations, and the population was not equal with the other wards. The charter says that the city would review population figures every 4 years. With the population imbalance, the city had to make changes to the wards to each have an equal population as directed by the charter. The redistricting would be only for the city election in 2021. The city would have to go through redistricting in 2022 with the new census data. The city has to wait for the Pima County Board of Supervisors to go through their redistricting and redrawing of the city's voting precincts first before the city can begin to withdraw the wards, for which the city charter states it must be a population based on, and the wards must be an equal in population. Option B which allowed us to solidify a precinct, move 4,000 people into Ward 6, which is the was easiest way to do it right now and to meet the needs of the charter.
What have you decided about standing for re-election? Have you made your announcement yet, Councilman Fimbres?
This is in court, so I'm still looking at all the options, but I think we've done a lot of good work here. You've seen the growth. The most growth in the city has been in Ward 5, and we've done some things to help the economy and streamline the economy. And the airport, Raytheon, all the growth that we got going has really been positive. But the good Lord is driving this mule, I always say. He'll give me the opportunity, we'll see what happens in the next couple of months.
And you might want to clarify that you said this is in court. You're talking about whether or not the city will have to move its elections from the odd years to the even year elections.
Exactly. The state has come down on us, the AG, and said we have to go to our election 2022, so that'd give me another year. But the citizens of this county, the city, have said we want local control and we want our elections to be held an odd number of years. That way we're not inundated with voter fatigue at the end of it. So, and it's been upheld in 19 different times in court, so we'll see what happens in court. So either way, I'm running in 2021 or 2022.
And you were first elected, I believe, in 2009. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And you came from a service background. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what you did before you came to the city?
Well, I worked for the governor, Janet Napolitano, as a highway safety director. Before that, I worked for the Pima County Sheriff's Department under Sheriff Clarence Dubnik. And I was also in the United States Army Reserves. And I did 27 and a half years with active duty Army, Army National Guard, and United States Army Reserves. I did 32 years with the Pima County Sheriff's Department, and I did 6.5 years with Governor Napolitano and the last 6 months with Governor Brewer. Before I came back, I was also on the Pima College Governing Board representing District 2 for 13 years. So my life has been community service and providing options for the good citizens of our Tucson to adhere to and increase the quality of life for all of our citizens.
When you were with highway safety, a lot of people didn't want to put a seatbelt on. It's kind of like now a lot of people don't want to wear a mask.
Exactly. And we're one of the states that doesn't have a primary seatbelt law still.
Really?
Exactly. And that's crazy because, it prevents injuries and fatalities. And so it's important that we do buckle up, especially in putting our kids in car seats and booster seats. That's also paramount. And the other killer right now is distracted driving. People are tied to their phones, and they're not doing a lot to pay attention to their driving. And when you're going 65, 75 miles an hour, that's instant impact. The faster you go, the greater the impact. So you got to be careful with that. So we got to get people to educate them on the importance of it. And then I know that I'm not sure if there's a primary distracted driving law now in place in the state, but I know in the city there is.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with you, but one thing you didn't mention is your devotion to faith. You've had quite a career just being very much involved with the church.
I've been blessed. I had good parents. My parents told me when you do good for others, good comes back on you, and I'm living proof of that, Bill, because like I said, the good Lord opens these doors for us and opportunities to do what we can to help others. And all I've been trying to do is improve the quality of life for all our citizens in our community. I mean, in our time, we created the Homeless Coalition that's helped identify the real issues with the homeless population. We created the Homeless Work Program. We got the, parking meter issue. I forgot the name of it, but that's one of the issues we're also working on to raise funds for the homeless.
Yeah, you talked about homeless. The last time you were with us, you were talking about that program that puts homeless people to work. Has that been put on hold during COVID or not?
Yes, it has to, because it's between 8 to 12 members in a van
going
locations that the city and the county have selected. And so we're looking at doing it, reviving it in January. I know I've been talking to Tom Nowitzki with OPCS and helping them restart this up again and finding a way to do that. And the key is the navigator is in the vehicle and saying what other services you need, mm-hmm. so we can help you with that. And then that's the other thing we're working on is keeping the homeless work program going and connecting these folks to better services in the community, connecting them. And the other thing I'm trying to work on, and I'm hopefully Senator Kelly will help us with this, is getting military surplus supplies down here to utilize that are sitting in warehouses squandering away for years. We can utilize that to help our most needy, most vulnerable citizens.
All right. Councilman Richard Fimbra, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you and your fine family have a lovely Christmas season. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you, Bill, and thank you, and I hope you and your family also have the same season. Be safe, stay healthy, and wear a mask.
Thank you very much.
God bless.
God bless. Councilmember Richard Fimbras with us on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Guests appear courtesy of Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management on our live line. All right. Christmas basically a week away. Time to make that call up to Mona's Danish Bakery. Or go by. They're open right now, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise, and put in your order for your dessert. On Christmas, pies would be one great option. Variety of flavors that Steve and the baking team, Steve and Michael and their other bakers can do for you. Also, what about dinner rolls? We had some of the dinner rolls. I had too many, actually, on Thanksgiving from Mona's. They are so good. And, of course, Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. And, boy, the Danish Kringle just screams holiday season. How about putting a Kringle for breakfast on either Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, or the day after? They come in a variety of wonderful flavors. I'm partial to the almond. So check it out, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, open right now for lunch. We'll be right back. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday afternoon.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD. Reed Park Zoo is now open for wildlife walks, a modified guest experience, prioritizing social distancing and safety. To find out more about all the changes and the new safety precautions now in place, visit reedparkzoo.org. The community-approved 10-year master plan ensures that your zoo's future is brighter than ever before. We've missed you, and so have the animals. They're waiting to welcome you back to the Reed Park Zoo.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. To all my Facebook friends, thank you so much. I can't believe it. All those wonderful greetings that came in on my birthday yesterday, brightening my day for sure, and they're still coming in. You folks have just been so kind. Many of you saying today they've been coming in saying happy, happy belated birthday. So the belated greeting, I think, works for a couple of days anyway. I mean, I could get, if you want to send a belated birthday greeting in the new year, that would be fine too, but I really appreciate it. I also very much appreciate Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants. They're collecting food all through December for the Community Food Bank. The need is so great. So $5 off your meal when you bring in five cans for the food bank. That's all three Jam-owned restaurants, which include the two locations of Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and of course Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare up in Oro Valley. And there's also a gift card promotion, very generous. Spend $100, buy $100, get a $25 gift cards. That's cool. Happy holidays from Jam Culinary Concepts. It's Buckmaster in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Layla Counts, member of the Tucson Unified School District Governing Board. It's a five-member board. There will be three new members. Layla and Adelita Grijalva will be the remaining members joining the three new members. Layla, how are you?
I'm good, Bill. How are you doing?
Real good. Will you be, do you foresee becoming now the board president?
I'm not sure. We have to put that up for a vote, but I am interested. So we'll see. I know Ms. Grijalva is going to have her hands full with her new work as a supervisor. And I'm the only one that's been on the board so far, so have the experience. But we'll see if my fellow board members would like to put me in that position.
Have you met now with the three new members? Have you gotten together for coffee or something?
Well, we haven't gotten together because of COVID, but
I have called
and we've had multiple phone conversations with all of the new board members. I think it's going to be a really great board. I think we're there's so many areas where we all have similar interests in the direction that we'd like the district to move, progress that we would like to see come to fruition. And I think that we are just going to work together really well. So I'm excited for this new board.
I'm very concerned about these numbers. I heard from Dr. Trujillo when he was with us a week or so ago, looking at a deficit, I think he was telling us, $20 million. He said you could cut all of the administration, because people often complain, well, you know, it's top heavy, too many administrators. I think he said you could cut the entire administration and it would only save you $12 million. So, I mean, this is a huge issue.
Yeah, I think districts across the country are looking at basically down over a financial cliff. The pandemic has really put a hurt on local governments, state governments, and that includes schools. Our budget and our money comes from the state. And with the cost of the pandemic, with the students that TUSD lost because of the pandemic, as all school districts across Arizona did. It's a $20 million deficit, and I'm just going to be frank here with you, Bill, it's not looking good. And I think it's inevitable that there is going to have to be a lot of cuts and painful adjustments made. And I'm not looking forward to that part of my service for next year. But it's just the circumstance with the pandemic, and also the $12 million that the state still owes us from our desegregation suit that we won against the state when they decided they didn't want to pay us last year. That was $8 million. And then this past fiscal year, another $8 million. So we, for multiple reasons, are just not in a good situation like every other district, but we have the added problem of the DSEG funds not being given to us, as the court has ordered the state to do, still have yet to pay us.
Why are they being delinquent on this?
Well, I have my political beliefs of why.
Uh-huh.
I think TUSD is often scapegoated with our very conservative Republican-run state government. They don't want to have us in this desegregation court case. We don't want to be in this desegregation court case anymore. I think that we've done the work to prove that we don't need court oversight anymore. But I believe that the state really just doesn't want to pay, and so that's what they're doing. They're just refusing, which I don't believe is legal, but that's where we are.
Let's go on the live line now to Matt. Matt called us at 790-2040. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Layla and Bill. Layla, just curious, what did the TUSD do to locate the ghosts that have disappeared in our district? I know this was a statewide problem, if not a national one, with students dropping off the rolls. But what have you done? And, you know, I don't see this problem disappearing for right. the next school year, even with the vaccine pending. What's your plan to mitigate, or what has been the plan to mitigate? I didn't see any PSAs. I didn't see any community attempts. I didn't, you know, obviously it was usually the mayor does a walk around. When Mayor Rothschild and you guys were leaders, you would do walk arounds to encourage just regular school attendance. Obviously it was hard during COVID, but I mean, are you guys talking about this? Thank you.
Okay.
Bye.
Yeah. Okay. What's going on, Layla? I mean, those students have disappeared.
Yeah, I think Matthew's right. I don't think that this is a problem that's going to be resolved by next school year upon opening. I think a lot of those kids are gone for good, whether they chose charter schools that are open or private schools or parents that are staying home and homeschooling them. I think that, yeah, it's going to be an ongoing problem. And I know that early on in the school year, we had the district reach out to all students and families that were not coming back for whatever reason. And either we heard from them or we didn't hear from them. And that was early on. It was coming from the district. And now the outreach for every student that has just disappeared or not showing up to class gets a phone call from the school or the teacher themselves. So as far as I know, I think that is probably the most effective way that we can get outreach and try to bring these families back in, more so than a PSA. There's many reasons why parents have chosen to pull their kids out of public schools and because of this pandemic, and I don't think that there's any simple solution. We're trying our best, and I think direct contact with the families or attempts at direct contact is the best that we can do. It's a very sad situation, but
How many do you
we're
think?
We're not alone in that.
You think it's several thousand at least, isn't it?
Yeah. Last I heard, we were up to, I think it was about 5%.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And it's not a matter of them not having computers. Everybody that needs a computer gets
right.
one, right?
We
I mean, they've all got that. Yeah.
We spent $8 million last spring. $8 million when we were just beginning this pandemic to be the first Arizona school that was considered a one-to-one district. So every student has access to one laptop. And we even bought, we spent an additional million or so dollars on hotspots. So if people didn't have internet, the district also provides internet.
Mm.
And wow. so that is not the, that's not really the issue. I'm kind of struggling with it myself, the online schooling. It's just hard for parents. It's hard for many, many reasons. And there is this, especially if you have younger kids, why that are struggling in school, why keep them in there instead of just kind of writing off the year?
Yeah.
And maybe starting again next year. And, you know, the thought has crossed my mind because I watch my kids and my little ones struggle so much in this remote environment. They have wonderful teachers. They go to a wonderful TUSD school.
Got
that
her
doesn't
on.
Matter. It's just, oh, okay.
All right. Layla Counts, TUSD Governing Board. Thank you, Layla. Happy holidays.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1236 here in Tucson, Arizona. Green Things, 50 years and growing. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios, your destination for living holiday plants. They grew 25,000 poinsettias this holiday season. There are still some left, and it would be a wonderful gesture to pick up a couple of them and deliver them to a friend, perhaps a friend who is alone this holiday season. It would certainly brighten up the holidays for a neighbor or a friend. If it's a neighbor and they're alone, go and you don't want to interact because of COVID, just leave it on the front porch. Then give them a call. Say there's a little surprise for you. Go buy poinsettias. Yes, go buy Green Things to get your poinsettias. 3384 East River Road. Everyone knows them over there. The great location, 13 acres. They also have, of course, ZocaloVillage.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. He is a one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. He's also a board member of the Interfaith Services. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing very well. What's going on with, before we talk education, have you been doing a big food drive? There's such a huge need right now.
We are. I was over there yesterday. We've gone to a drive-by arrangement. It's totally bumper to bumper. I mean, I was over there at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we did not stop loading vehicles until we closed at the end of the time period. But very, very busy, and but very efficiently run. People open the trunks to their car, and we put the food in. It's based on the number of people in the family. Close the trunk, and the next person pulls up, and it's very efficient. So I would certainly feel that we're doing what we can to help the community.
You may have heard while you were on hold waiting for our conversation, a bit of my conversation with Layla Counts, who is Layla is expected to be the board president in 2021 of the Tucson Unified Governing Board. 5% of the student body now unaccounted for. You know, we've talked about this before, Bob Hendricks, but 2020 into 2021 is shaping up to be the lost year of education. Education's
Absolutely.
Lost year. Yep.
No question about it. And, you know, there's a large part of me that says, you know, it's not too late to write this off. But it just is so discouraging. It's just incredible when you look at the attendance rates and you look at the alarming failure rates, as well as trying to locate people who have literally disappeared off of the attendance map. You just don't know what to do to fix it.
And you know, there's
I guess the answer is the vaccine.
The growing number of failing grades is just astounding. They've been doing surveys across the country. These numbers are just off the charts. of students who, when they do locate them, then they're getting all these failing grades. It's almost like with this last year, maybe when the vaccine is coming and very soon, maybe 2021, 2022, which will probably be the getting back in the fall of 2021, where we're actually back in the classroom, we may need to kind of do a reset here.
Well, I think so. And, the research has been pretty clear that students who are doing well in school have the ability to catch up. It's those students that are kind of falling through the cracks who are struggling right now. They've struggled before, and they're going to have a very, very difficult time catching up, and probably some of them will not. It's going to take a lot more remediation. It's going to take a lot more focus on ways to intervene and to help these students get some of those skills that they've lost during this period of time when they just haven't had a support system to help them.
Betsy DeVos will be out as education secretary. She was President Trump's cabinet member concerning education. What kind of marks do you give her?
Well, you know, Betsy never started off very well. She started with a tie vote in Congress for her confirmation. And so Vice President Pence had to sweep in and, break the tie. So that wasn't, it was a good start for her. I think I would have to say that probably her legacy might be that she's one of the few cabinet members that has stayed for the whole 4 years in the Trump administration. She came in with a very narrow agenda, and the nature of this position, I've worked very closely with some of the previous secretaries of education. There's not a lot of power and authority in this office. It's really essentially a bully pulpit where the secretary tries to fulfill an agenda that is oftentimes set by the president. And Secretary DeVos's agenda was very specific, and that was school choice. And her goal was to create a national school voucher program, but it really failed to get any kind of traction. And so, while other secretaries of education have, worked on national standards or, the whole No Child Left Behind movement, she really focused on this private school voucher thing, and it just didn't go anywhere. And then she worked on the Title IX requirements, which is another area that the Secretary of Education has some authority. And there's this whole area of potential university misconduct, sexual misconduct. She essentially extended the appeal process and demanded more stringent proof of burden of proof. And this has been really frustrating to the higher education folks, because it's just seemed to have extended and not resolved a lot of this conflict that has created with sexual discrimination charges.
You mentioned that she has that position. Our school board, education in this country is pretty much a state and local matter, isn't it?
It is. And, President Reagan was the first president to say, do we really need a Department of Education? And coincidentally, Secretary DeVos is leaving her position asking the same question, maybe out of frustration, but, maybe there's some legitimacy to the question. Very limited power, Bill. A lot of the authority comes with the amount of money that you can give out. And the reality is that the Department of Education, Federal Department of Education, only provides about 8% of the funding to K-12 schools across the country. Essentially, the funding goes through Title I grants, which helps instructional assistance to low-income students. There's the Head Start program for early education, and there's special education support. But, you know, the truth be told, it's only 8% of the money that comes. Most of it comes through the state. And so there's also Pell grants that come that are scholarships for higher education. But that's about it. Besides the bully pulpit the Title IX, that's the scope. And I'm simplifying this, but that's the scope of the Department of Education. And so, you know, it's a legitimate question. It's the smallest department in the federal government. It's the it's the most recently created one. And, Reagan raised this question. Bush raised the question. And it's mostly been Republican presidents. But the question is, is really worth the value that it contributes to your overall national enterprise.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. We'll have more with Dr. Hendricks on the Buckmaster Show. It's Buckmaster on a Thursday. We'll be right back in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studios.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. So many of us are dreaming of 2021 and getting away for vacation, even a long weekend. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico would really fit the bill after everything somewhat returns to normal. We get a lot of vaccine into people's arms and people feel confident about traveling again. The land of enchantment, New Mexico, will be at one time. They'll be ready for you. They're not ready right now, but they will be. So go to southwestnewmexico.org. Start your planning now for Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, only a 3-hour drive from Tucson. Lots there on the website, including where to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities. We continue now with our conversation with our education contributor, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, what's going on with Proposition 208, which passed? That was the proposition, tax the very wealthy and give the money to education. Is that, that's being challenged?
Well, yeah, and actually, it passed. It was a real squeaker. I mean, it passed with a 51.7% approval, but it still did pass, and it's being contested by the Goldwater Institute with a lot of support of particularly small businesses, I think, who are concerned about how this is going to impact them and their bottom line. But the Goldwater Institute, which filed suit, has indicated that it really it violates the constitutional limits that are given to the legislature, and therefore this new distribution of funding is illegal, according to them, and that they also say that this new tax would require a 2-3 majority of the legislature. And so that and a couple other issues indicate that they feel that this is illegal, it cannot be enacted, and therefore it should be thrown out. And it was to take place, it's scheduled to take place in 2022, and so we'll have to see what the courts do with it. But I guess, it kind of strikes at the question that I've been thinking about, we seem to be bombarded sometimes with propositions, and we're certainly not an exception in the state, but some states, for example, California, they seem to have so many propositions that you really need a report card to kind of navigate through them. But, the proposition really, the purpose is to give a direct voter voice to the initiative. And in this particular case, I have to ask myself, I continue to ask myself, why did we need this proposition? And the reason I think this proposition was legitimately placed on the ballot to begin with is that the legislature simply has dragged their feet year after year to come up with any kind of reasonable funding package that pulls Arizona education out of the bottom quarter of state funding. I mean, it just hasn't happened. The votes have just not been there. And I think the frustration in the education community, and I think a lot of people who support education have said, look, if they can't get it done, we're going to have to do an end run around them. And that's a proposition. And 208, said this is the way we can inject new funding, more funding into education. And whether that's going to withstand a legal challenge, I don't know. But I do know that there was some legitimacy, a cry of frustration with this proposition to get the money into the hands of educators and into a decent compensation package for teachers. And so we're just going to have to see what happens.
Dr. Robert Hendricks with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Getting back to the current operations, so much of everything now is this virtual learning. I wonder when this is all said and done, when we evaluate, was the virtual learning online? Did we do the right thing? Are we going to learn some lessons from this? But you talk about a total reset. I think education, when this is over, will do a total reset on all levels. Would you not agree?
I agree. And I think one of the things that hopefully we'll learn at the secondary level is that education is more than just about seat time. You know, we still subscribe to this old, what's called the Carnegie unit, which says that X number of minutes in the classroom equals a quality education. And I think we've learned with online learning and some other ways of instructional delivery that that may not be the case, because people learn at different levels. And if we can deliver instruction in more efficient ways, and allow students to progress more quickly in some ways, and in other ways, find ways to deliver instruction to students who are struggling. Hopefully those are lessons to be learned. I was thinking back to the our earlier discussion about failures. You know, I'm gonna speculate, Bill, and I think I'm right on this, that a lot of the reason for the increased failure is not the lack of quality of work. It's simply not turning in the work, which has a high correlation with lack of attendance. I mean, if you don't do the work, if you don't turn it in, that's an automatic failure. And I think there's a large preponderance of evidence that if you ask teachers, they'll tell you we just didn't see any product. We didn't see any evidence of anything. So we didn't have any choice but to fail the students. And so, you know, you look at TUSD specifically at the secondary level, you know, failure rates are up 59%.
Wow.
And Sunnyside 47%. And so, and then you've got other districts. Every district is weighing and saying that the failure rates are higher. And so there's a consistency along that, which is not necessarily, we usually say, you know, well, schools have issues because there's different economic differences. Well, here's a trend that is consistent: higher failure at every school district in Pima County. And so there's an alarming trend here that says something about our lack of instructional delivery. The model's not perfect. It's not working. And there's all kinds of reasons. Home environment certainly is one issue, but I think another issue, particularly at the secondary level, is the inconsistency of instruction.
Yep, we're going to have to leave it.
Okay.
We have to leave
we'll
it right there.
We'll talk about this later.
We will talk about it in January, perhaps. Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank
Absolutely.
You very much. My
okay.
best to you and your family. Have a wonderful holiday season, Bob.
Okay.
Thanks.
Take care. Happy holidays, Bill.
Thanks very much. Dr. Robert Hendricks does such a great job contributing to our program on all things education. On behalf of Tom Fairbanks, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Dave Ramsey is next. Have a great afternoon.